ancient word to today, which comes to us from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. This is from the Message Bible, so a contemporary text. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Christ, before this Jesus Christ, and call out in praise that he is the lover of all, to the glorious honor of God. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy. An energy deep within you, God willing and working at what will give God the most pleasure.
Our song of reflection is possibly a familiar song that comes from England, Bread of the World and Mercy Broken. Begin with another prayer from Bruce Pruer from Australia. Most wonderful God, the beauty we see in Jesus is your beauty, veiled in human flesh. The love we witness from Bethlehem to Golgotha is your love, contracted to a span. If Christ's life is so holy as to fill us with wonder, how much more would your unveiled beauty leave us overwhelmed and trembling? You are more than I could bear, more than mind could ever fathom. Yet you have so carefully made us that although we cannot fathom you, we can yet love you. Gratefully, we bring our lives to you, asking that our worship may arise from love and be shaped by love and be directed towards that larger loving, which is our soul's desire. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Today, we celebrate with Christians around the world the communion of saints gathered at the table of Jesus Christ, the one who, though he had equal status with God, didn't think so much of himself. He had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. The one who, when the time came, set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human, like you and me. This is one of the great truth claims of our tradition. God incarnate, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. We can speak literally of the man, Jesus of Nazareth, as we also try to capture in imagery the meaning of that being, of that life lived. One such image which sounds particularly appropriate today is 18th century English poet Reginald Heber's lovely affirmation. We just sang, "Bread of the world, in mercy broken, wine of the soul in mercy shed, by whom the words of life were spoken and in whose death our sins are dead." These are beautiful metaphors. Jesus, bread of the world, in mercy broken. Jesus, wine of the soul, in mercy shed. The hymn continues with this heartfelt personal appeal. Look on the heart by sorrow broken. Look on the tears by sinners shed. And be thy feast to us the token that by thy grace our souls are fed. I'm sure the imagery of this old hymn has soothed many a broken heart, dried many a sinner's tears, and fed many a soul. The words of Heber's hymn blend with the ancient hymn that Paul incorporates in this letter to the church at Philippi. In Christ's self-giving love is our redemption. In the words of another great hymn attributed to 14th century German priest, mystic Thomas a Kempis, "Oh love, how deep, how broad, how high, how passing thought and fantasy that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal's sake. For us he rose from death again, for us he went on high to reign, for us he spent his spirit here to guide, to strengthen, and to cheer." Well, before I'm completely carried away in poetic ecstasy with the beauty of ancient hymns, which, as you may be learning, I am wont to do, let's take a moment to consider today's text from a different angle. One of the things Paul was trying to teach the Philippians is a lesson about unity with humility. Troy Trachtgruben reminds us that true humility is measured not by low self-evaluation, it's not doormat humility, but by demonstrable concern for others, by doing what we can when we can. In other words, real humility leads to compassion and to community. Another commentator, Todd Still, writes of this passage, "Christian encouragement, loving consolation, spiritual fellowship and partnership, and affection and compassion were meant to typify and demarcate the saints in Philippi, and for that matter, believers everywhere, including you and me. I like the way Gene Peterson paraphrases the passage in the Message. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor, he says. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves at least long enough to lend a helping hand. So there's a question for us. Have we gotten anything out of following Christ? Has Christ's love made any difference in our lives? Bread of the world, in mercy broken, but to what end? Do we look for ways we can agree with one another? And I don't think I or Paul are suggesting that we always have to agree completely, but we do have to find ways to get along. To love one another, live as deep-spirited friends, even when we disagree. We never push to get ahead, do we? No. We would never sweet-talk ourselves out of a tough situation or into increasing our advantage, would we? How often have we been willing to forget ourselves just long enough to lend a helping hand? Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that any of us necessarily fails to follow the Christ of great compassion when the occasion calls for it. But as we consider this ancient text today, it doesn't hurt to remind ourselves of the incredible depth and breadth of Christ's self-giving love, at least as a model, at least as something that to which we can aspire. We don't have to judge ourselves as inadequate in order to ask ourselves if we could do more to follow faithfully and to serve fully. So I put together this annual World Communion Sunday worship service. I take delight in incorporating music, prayers, liturgy, and reading from all over the world. But one of the things that happens when you start looking at resources from different cultures, like when you read a novel or an article or a tome that comes from a different place, a different tradition, some of your own assumptions about the faith tradition get challenged. Reginald Heber penned Bread of the World and the rest of his 57 hymns, including Holy, 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 as a privileged Englishman of the late 18th, early 19th century. He did it before accepting a call to become the Bishop of Calcutta. We've got our Indian outfits here. Bishop of Calcutta. This comfortably cultured English parson, gentleman, chose to empty himself in service to the people of India, and it cost him his life at age 43. Christ's love made such a difference in his life that he spent his final 3 years forgetting himself and lending a helping hand to people in need. He found something half a world away from the security of his home that called forth his own compassion and transformed his life. That call from Guatemala we began with, you emptied yourself completely for keeping nothing for yourself. Now naked, utterly stripped, you gave yourself to us as bread and as wine that consoles us. You are the light and truth. You are the way and hope. You are love. Now grow in us, Christ Jesus. When you read Guatemalan poet Julia Esquivel's take on the bread of the world, you get a different sense of that image, don't you? It's not just comfortable and lovely and peaceful. It may be metaphorical bread that consoles, but isn't it also nutritious bread that feeds the body? See, there are hungry people in the world, hungry spiritually, but hungry physically. Yes, Jesus teaches us that we cannot live by bread alone, but it is difficult to hear and embrace a metaphor, no matter how lovely, no matter how wonderfully familiar it feels to us, when your stomach is hurting from hunger. Remember the multitudes Jesus refused to send away hungry? Even when the disciples insisted they had little or nothing to give, he didn't just pray on them and say, be full. He said, what have you got to share, folks? Christ made a way where there seemed to be no way. And is that not the Christ way? To make a way where there seems to be no way. Where is the light, the truth, the way, the hope, the love of Jesus Christ if there is not both bread of the world and bread for the world? Now, in different circumstances, we would gather around the communion table and share a lovely litany of bread. I have one. I think you probably have done one before, too. This litany focuses on a variety of breads from different cultures from around the world, from challah to bagels to cornbread to tortillas to cookies, and you get to choose your poison on that particular communion Sunday. It teaches us very specific things about the people whose bread is shared, at least in the litany that I use. We talk about what tortillas mean to people for whom tortillas is a staple, or other kinds of bread as well. If being in a community of the Spirit means anything to us, we need to listen for what the Spirit says to us in these many different forms and flavors. Right? For one example, before we partake, I will share with you an invitation to the table drawn from the work of the World Student Christian Federation. The prayer comes from workers in a community soup kitchen in shanty towns in Lima, Peru. A venue radically different from any we generally occupy or even are familiar with. This prayer begins, God, food of the poor, Christ, our bread, give us a taste of tender bread from your creation's table. See, there are hungry people out there, hungry for the bread of the world, yes, but hungry in both body and soul. So following the self-giving one, the Christ of great compassion, can we put ourselves aside, our needs aside, and help others get ahead? Not obsessed with getting our own advantage, forgetting ourselves at least long enough to lend a helping hand. This prayer concludes by recognizing Christ as a loaf that makes us human, joined hand in hand, working and sharing a warm loaf that makes us Christ's beloved family. Mind and heart, soul and body, feed us, bread of the world. Feed the whole of creation. Feed us till we want no more. Amen.